The two rival houses of York and Lancaster have cynically buried the hatchet to combine together and destroy the Duke of Gloucester. Knowing that the young king, Henry VI, deprived of his uncle Gloucester's protectorship, will be extremely vulnerable, each faction believes it will be able to foster its own ambitions unopposed. Suffolk and the Cardinal have set a trap for Gloucester's wife, who, having been found guilty of witchcraft, escapes the death sentence and is banished. As a result, her husband has relinquished his protectorship. Now his enemies are preparing for the kill. Henry, accompanied by Queen Margaret, has journeyed to the abbey at Bury St. Edmunds, where he has summoned Gloucester to appear before all the nobles to answer certain allegations.
I muse my Lord of Gloucester is not come. 'Tis not his wont to be the hindmost man. Whate'er occasion keeps him from us now?
Can you not see, or will ye not observe, the strangeness of his altered countenance? With what a majesty he bears himself, how insolent of late he has become, how proud, how peremptory, and unlike himself.
First note that he is near you in descent, and should you fall, he is the next will mount. Meseemeth that it is no policy, respecting what a rancorous mind he bears, and his advantage following your decease, that he should come about your royal person, or be admitted to your highness' council.
By flattery hath he won the commons' hearts, and when he please to make commotion, 'tis to be feared they all will follow him. Now 'tis the spring, and weeds are shallow-rooted. Suffer them now, and they'll o'ergrow the garden, and choke the herbs for want of husband.
Did he not, contrary to form of law, devise strange deaths for small offences done?
Prove our allegations if you can, or else conclude our words effectual.
My lords, at once, the care you have of us to mow down thorns that would annoy our foot is worthy praise. But shall I speak my conscience? Our kinsman Gloucester is as innocent from meaning treason to our royal person as is the sucking lamb or harmless dove. The Duke is virtuous, mild, and too well given to dream on evil or to work my downfall.
Seems he a dove. His feathers are but borrowed, for he's disposed as the hateful raven. Is he a lamb? His skin is surely lent him, for he's inclined as is the ravenous wolves. Who cannot steal a shape that means deceit? Take heed, my lord. The welfare of us all hangs on the cutting short that fraudful man.
All health unto my gracious sovereign.
Welcome, Lord Somerset. What news from France?
That all your interest in those territories is utterly bereft you. All is lost.
Cold news, Lord Somerset. But God's will be done.
God's will? Duke Humphreys, if God's truth be known. For has he not in his protectorship levied great sums of money through the realm for soldiers' pay in France and never sent it, by means wherewith your birthright is quite lost?
All happiness unto my lord the king. Pardon, my liege, that I have stayed so long.
Nay, Gloucester, know that thou art come too soon, unless thou wert more loyal than thou art. I do arrest thee of high treason here.
Well, Suffolk, thou shalt not see me blush, nor change my countenance for this arrest. The purest spring is not so free from mud as I am clear from treason to my sovereign. Who can accuse me? Wherein am I guilty?
'Tis thought, my lord, that you took bribes of France, and being protector, stayed our soldier's pay, by means whereof his highness hath lost France.
Is it but thought so? What are they that think it? I never robbed the soldiers of their pay, nor ever had one penny bribe from France. So help me God, as I have watched the night, I night by night, in studying good for England.
It serves you well, my lord, to say so much.
I say no more than truth, so help me God.
My lord, these faults are easy, quickly answered. But mightier crimes are laid unto your charge, whereof you cannot easily purge yourself. I do arrest you in his highness' name, and here commit you to my lord cardinal to keep until your further time of trial.
My lord of Gloucester, 'tis my special hope that you will clear yourself from all suspicion. My conscience tells me you are innocent.
Ah, gracious lord, these days are dangerous. Virtue is choked with foul ambition, and charity chased hence by rancor's hand. I know their complot is to have my life, and if my death might make this island happy and prove the period of their tyranny, I would expend it with all willingness. But mine is made the prologue to their play, for thousands more that yet suspect no peril will not conclude their plotted tragedy. Winchester's sparkling eyes blab his heart's malice, and Suffolk's cloudy brow his stormy hate, and dogged York, that reaches at the moon, whose overweening arm I have plucked back, by false accuse, doth level at my life. And you, my sovereign lady, with the rest, causeless have laid disgraces on my head, and with your best endeavor have stirred up my liefest liege to be mine enemy. Aye, all of you have laid your heads together, and all to make away my guiltless life.
My liege's railing is intolerable. If those that care to keep your royal person from treason's secret knife and traitor's rage be thus upbraided, chid, and rated at, and the offender granted scope of speech, 'twill make them cool in zeal unto your grace.
Hath he not chid our sovereign lady here with ignominious words, though clerkly couched, as if she had suborned some to swear false allegations to o'erthrow his state?
But I could give the loser leave to chide.
Far truer spoke than meant. I lose indeed. Beshrew the winners, for they played me false. And well, such losers may have leave to speak.
He'll rest the sense and hold us here all day. Lord Cardinal, here's your prisoner.
Ah, thus King Henry throws away his crutch before his legs be firm to bear his body. Thus is the shepherd beaten from thy side, and wolves are gnarling who shall gnaw thee first. Ah, that my fear were false. Ah, that it were. For, good King Henry, thy decay I fear.
Sirs, take away the duke and guard him sure.
My lords, what to your wisdom seemeth best, do or undo as if ourself were here?
What? Will your highness leave the parliament?
Aye, Margaret. My heart is drowned with grief, whose flood begins to flow within mine eyes, my body round and girt with misery. For what's more miserable than discontent? Oh, Uncle Humphrey, in thy face I see the map of honour, truth, and loyalty. And yet, good Humphrey, is the hour to come that ere I proved thee false or feared thy faith. What lowering star now envies thy estate that these great lords and Margaret, our queen, do seek subversion of thy harmless life? Thou never didst them wrong, nor no man wrong. And as the butcher takes away the calf and binds the wretch and beats it when it strays, bearing it to the bloody slaughterhouse, even so remorseless have they borne him hence. And as the dam runs lowing up and down, looking the way her harmless young one went, and can do naught but wail her darling's loss, even so myself bewails good Gloucester's case with sad, unhelpful tears. And with dimmed eyes look after him, and cannot do him good, so mighty are his vowed enemies. His fortunes I will weep, and twixt each groan say, who's a traitor? Gloucester, he is none. Oh, come, Uncle Exeter.
Noble lords, cold snow melts with the sun's hot beams. Henry, my lord, is cold in great affairs, too full of foolish pity. And Gloucester's show beguiles him as the mournful crocodile with sorrow snares relenting passengers, or as the snake, rolled in a flowering bank with shining checkered slough, doth sting a child that for the beauty thinks it excellent. Believe me, lords, where none more wise than I, and yet herein I judge mine own wit good, this Gloucester should be quickly rid the world, to rid us from the fear we have of him.
That he should die is worthy policy.
Then to preserve my sovereign from his foe, say but the word, and I will be his priest.
But I would have him dead, my lord of Suffolk, ere you can take due orders for a priest. Say you consent, and censure well the deed, and I'll provide his executioner. I tender so the safety of my liege.
Here is my hand. The deed is worthy doing.
And so say I.
And Somerset.
And York. And now we all have spoke it, it skills not greatly who impugns our doom.
Great lords, from Ireland am I come amain to signify that rebels there are up. Send succours, lords, and stop the rage betime before the wound do grow incurable.
Breach that craves a quick expedient stop. What counsel give you in this weighty cause?
That Somerset be sent as regent thither. Tis meet that lucky ruler be employed. Witness the fortune he hath had in France.
My lord of York, try what your fortune is. To Ireland will you lead a band of men collected choicely from each county some, and try your hap against the Irishman?
I will, my lord, so please his majesty.
Why, our authority is his consent, and what we do establish he confirms. Then, noble York, take thou this task in hand.
I am content. Provide me soldiers, lords, whilst I take order for mine own affairs.
A charge, Lord York, that I will see performed.
But now return we to the false Duke Humphrey.
Lord Suffolk, we must talk of that event, that henceforth he shall trouble us no more. And so break off the days almost spent.
run to my Lord of Suffolk. Let him know we have dispatched the Duke as he commanded.
Oh, that it were to do! What have we done? Didst ever hear a man so penitent?
Here comes my lord.
Now, sirs, have you dispatched this thing?
Aye, my good lord, he's dead.
Why, that's well said. Go, get you to my house. I will reward you for this venturous deed. The king and all his peers are here at hand. Have you laid fair the bed? Is all things well, according as I gave directions?
'Tis, my good lord, exactly as you said.
Go call our uncle to our presence straight. Say we intend to try his grace today if he be guilty as 'tis published.
I'll call him presently, my noble lord.
Lords, take your places. And I pray you all, proceed no straighter against our uncle Gloucester than from true evidence of good esteem he be approved in practice culpable.
God forbid any malice should prevail, that faultless may condemn a nobleman. Pray God he may acquit him of suspicion.
I thank thee, Meg. These words content me much. How now? Suffolk, look'st thou pale? Why tremblest thou? Where is our uncle? What's the matter, man?
Dead in his bed, my lord. Gloucester is dead.
My God, for them.
Oh.
How fares my lord? Oh, help, lords! The king is dead. Oh, Henry, ope thine eyes.
He doth revive again. Madam, be patient.
Oh, heavenly God.
How fares my gracious lord?
Comfort, my sovereign. Gracious Henry, comfort.
What? Doth my lord of Suffolk comfort me? Came he right now to sing a raven's note whose dismal tune bereft my vital powers? And thinks he that the chirping of a wren by crying comfort from a hollow breast can chase away the first conceived sound?
My lord.
Lay not thy hands on me, forbear, I say. Their touch affrights me as a serpent's sting. Upon thy eyeballs, murderous tyranny sits in grim majesty to fright the world. Look not upon me, for thine eyes are wounding. Yet, do not go away. Come, basilisk, and kill the innocent gazer with thy sight. For in the shade of death I shall find joy. In life but double death, now Gloucester's dead.
Why do you rape my lord of Suffolk thus? Although the Duke was enemy to him, yet he most Christian-like laments his death. And for myself, foe as he was to me, might liquid tears or heart-offending groans or blood-consuming sighs recall his life, I would be blind with weeping, sick with groans, and all to have the noble Duke alive. But know I how the world may deem of me, for it is known we were but hollow friends. It may be judged I made the Duke away. So shall my name with slander's tongue be wounded, and princes' courts be filled with my reproach. This get I by his death, I me unhappy, to be a queen and crowned with infamy.
Oh, woe is me for Gloucester, wretched man.
Be woe for me, more wretched than he is. What, dost thou turn away and hide thy face? I am no loathsome leper. Look on me. What, art thou like the adder, waxen deaf? Be poisonous too and kill thy forlorn queen. Is all thy comfort shut in Gloucester's tomb? Why then, Queen Margaret, was ne'er thy joy? Erect his statue and worship it, and make my image but an alehouse sign. Was I for this nigh wrecked upon the sea, and twice by awkward wind from England's bank drove back again unto my native clime? What boded this? But well forewarning wine did seem to say, seek not a scorpion's nest, nor set no footing on this unkind shore. What did I then but curse the gentle gusts, and he that loosed them forth their brazen caves, and bid them blow towards England's blessed shore, or turn our stern upon a dreadful rock? Yet the wind would not be a murderer, but left that hateful office unto thee. I can no more. Die, Margaret. For Henry weeps that thou dost live so long.
It is reported, mighty sovereign, that good Duke Humphrey traitorously is murdered by Suffolk and the cardinal's foul means. The commons, like an angry hive of bees that want their leader, scatter up and down and care not who they sting in his revenge. Myself have calmed their spleenful mutiny until they hear the order of his death.
That he is dead, good Warwick, 'tis too true, but how he died, God knows, not Henry. Enter his chamber, view his breathless corpse, and comment then upon his sudden death.
That shall I do, my liege. Stay till I return.
O thou that judgest all things, stay my thoughts. My thoughts that labor to persuade my soul some violent hands were laid on Humphrey's life. If my suspect be false, forgive me, God, for judgment only doth belong to thee. O fain would I go to chafe his paly lips with 20,000 kisses, and to drain upon his face an ocean of salt tears. To tell my love unto his dumb, deaf trunk, and with my fingers feel his hand unfeeling. But all in vain are these mean obsequies. And to survey his dead and earthy image, what were it but to make my sorrow greater?
Good sirs, lay down your heavy load. And ever, gracious sovereign, view his body.
That is to see how deep my grave is made. For with his soul fled all my worldly solace. For seeing him, I see my life in death.
As surely as my soul intends to live, I do believe that violent hands were laid upon the life of this thrice-famed duke.
A dreadful oath, sworn with a solemn tongue. What instance gives Lord Warwick for his vow?
See how his face is black and full of blood. His eyeballs further out than when he lived, staring full ghastly like a strangled man. His hair upreared. His nostrils stretched with struggling. His hands abroad displayed as one that grasped and tugged for life and was by strength subdued. Look, on the sheets, his hair, you see, is sticking. His well-proportioned beard made rough and ragged, like to the summer's corn by tempest lodged. It cannot be but he was murdered here. The least of all these signs were probable.
Why, Warwick, who should do the Duke to death? The Cardinal and I did guard him. And we, I hope, sir, are no murderers.
But both of you were vowed Duke Humphrey's foes, and you, forsooth, had the good Duke to keep. 'Tis like you would not feast him like a friend, and 'tis well seen he found an enemy.
Then you belike suspect these noblemen as guilty of Duke Humphrey's timeless death?
Who finds the heifer dead and bleeding fresh and sees fast by a butcher with an axe, but will suspect 'twas he that made the slaughter.
Are you the butcher, Suffolk? Where's your knife?
I wear no knife to slaughter sleeping men. But here's a vengeful sword, rusted with ease, that shall be scoured in his rancorous heart that slanders me with murder's crimson badge. Say, if thou darest, proud lord of Warwickshire, that I am faulty in Duke Humphrey's death.
Who dares not Warwick if false Suffolk dare him?
He dares not calm his contumelious spirit, nor cease to be an arrogant controller, though Suffolk dare him 20,000 times.
Madam, be still. With reverence, may I say. For every word you speak in his behalf is slander to your royal dignity. Oh,
thou traitor, Warwick! Thou shalt die for that!
Why, how, my lord, your wrathful weapons drawn here in our presence? Dare you be so bold?
Lords, curb your ire! The king shall hear me speak. Dread king, the commons send you word by me. Unless Lord Suffolk straight be done to death, or banished fair England's territories, they will by violence tear him from your palace and torture him with grievous lingering death. They say, by him, the good Duke Humphrey died. They say, in him, they fear your highness' death, and therefore do they cry, though you forbid, that they will guard you where you will or no from such fell serpents as false Suffolk is. With whose envenomed and fatal sting your loving uncle, 20 times his worth, they say, is shamefully bereft of life.
'Tis like the commons' rude, unpolished hinds could send such message to their sovereign. But you, my lord, were glad to be employed to show how quaint an orator you are. But all the honour Exeter hath won is that he was the Lord Ambassador sent from a sort of tinkers to the king.
My go, uncle. And tell them all from me, I thank them for their tender, loving care. And had I not been cited so by them, yet did I purpose as they do entreat. For sure my thoughts do hourly prophesy mischance unto my state by Suffolk's means. And therefore, by his majesty I swear, whose far unworthy deputy I am, he shall not breathe infection in this air but 3 days longer on the pain of death.
Oh, Henry! Let me plead for gentle Suffolk.
Ungentle queen, to call him gentle Suffolk. No more, I say. If thou dost plead for him, thou wilt but add increase unto my wrath. Had I but said, I would have kept my word. But when I swear, it is irrevocable. Suffolk, if after 3 days' space thou here be'st found on any ground that I am ruler of, the world shall not be ransom for thy life. Oh, come, Warwick, come. Good Warwick, go with me. I have great matters to impart to thee.
Mischance and sorrow go along with you. Hearts, discontent and sour affliction. Be playfellows to keep you company. There's two of you. The devil make a third. And threefold vengeance tend upon your steps.
Cease, gentle queen, these execrations, and let thy Suffolk take his heavy leave.
Aye. Coward woman and soft-hearted wretch, hast thou not spirit to curse thine enemy?
Now, by the ground that I am banished from, well could I curse away a winter's night, though standing naked on a mountain top where biting cold would never let grass grow, and think it but a minute spent in sport.
Oh, let me entreat thee, cease. Give me thy hand, that I may dew it with my mournful tears. Oh, could this kiss be printed in thy hand, that thou mightst think upon these by the seal, through whom a thousand sighs are breathed for thee. I will repeal thee, or be well assured, adventure to be banished myself. And banished I am, if but from thee. Go, speak not to me, even now be gone. Oh, go not yet. Even as two friends condemned embrace and kiss, and take 10,000 leaves, loather 100 times to part than die. Yet now, farewell, and farewell life with thee.
Thus is poor Suffolk 10 times banished, once by the king and 3 times thrice by thee. 'Tis not the land I care for, wert thou thence. A wilderness is populous enough, so Suffolk had thy heavenly company. For where thou art, there is the world itself, with every several pleasure in the world. And where thou art not, desolation. I can no more. Live thou to joy thy life, myself to joy in naught, but that thou livest.
Whither goes Exeter so fast? What news, I pray?
To signify unto his majesty that Winchester is at the point of death. For suddenly a grievous sickness took him that makes him gasp and stare and catch the air, blaspheming God and cursing men on earth. Sometime he talks as if Duke Humphrey's ghost were by his side. Sometime he calls the king and whispers to his pillow as to him the secrets of his overcharged soul. And I am sent to tell his majesty that even now he cries aloud for him.
Go tell this heavy message to the king.
Your majesty.
I mean, what is this world? What news are these? But wherefore grieve I at an hour's poor loss, omitting Suffolk's exile, my soul's treasure? Why only, Suffolk, mourn I not for thee, and with the southern clouds contend in tears, theirs for the earth's increase, mine for my sorrows. Now get thee hence. The king thou knowest is coming. If thou be found by me, thou art but dead. To France, sweet Suffolk, let me hear from thee. For wheresoe'er thou art in this world's globe, I'll have an heiress that shall find thee out.
I go.
And take my heart with thee.
A jewel locked into the woefulest cask that ever did contain a thing of worth. Even as a splitted bark, so sunder we. This way fall I to death.
This way for me.
How fares, my lord?
Speak, Cardinal, to thy king.
If thou bist death, I'll give thee England's treasure enough to purchase such another island, so thou wilt let me live and feel no pain.
Oh, what a sign it is of evil life where death's approach is seen so terrible.
Cardinal, 'tis thy sovereign speaks to thee.
Bring me unto my trial when you will. Tight he not in his bed, where should he die? Can I make men live whether they will or no? Oh, torture me no more, I will confess. Live again, then show me where he is. I'll give £1,000 to look upon him. He hath no eyes. The dust has blinded them. Combed down his hair. Look, look, it stands upright. Like lime twigs, set to catch my winged soul. Give me some drink. And bid the apothecary bring the strong poison that I bought of him.
O thou eternal mover of the heavens, look with a gentle eye upon this wretch. Oh, beat away the busy meddling fiend that lays strong siege into this wretch's soul, and from his bosom purge this black despair.
See how the pangs of death do make him grin.
Disturb him not. Let him pass peaceably.
Oh, peace to his soul, if God's good pleasure be. Lord Cardinal, if thou think'st on heaven's bliss, hold up thy hand. Make signal of thy hope. He dies and makes no sign. Oh, God forgive him.
So bad a death argues a monstrous life.
For better judge, for we are sinners all. Close up his eyes and draw the curtains close. And let us all to meditation.
Suffolk, suitably disguised, has made his way to the Kent coast and embarked for France. Shortly after setting sail, his ship is attacked by pirates and sunk. Suffolk, together with one other passenger, is captured and rowed back to the shore by the pirates. As the longboat scrapes on the shingle, the pirate captain orders his prisoners to be brought onto the beach.
And now, bring forth the soldiers of our prize. Bo'sun, this prisoner freely give I thee.
What is my ransom, Bo'sun? Let me know.
1,000 crowns, or else lay down your head.
I'll give it, sir, and therefore spare my life.
The other, one of it more, is thy share.
I lost mine eye in laying the prize aboard, and therefore to revenge it shalt thou die. And so should he, if I might have my will.
Ah, be not so rash. Take ransom, let him live.
Look on me, fellow. I am a gentleman. Rate me at what thou wilt, thou shalt be paid.
And so am I. My name is Walter Whitmore. How now? Why start'st thou? What does death affright?
Thy name affrights me, in whose sounds is death. A cunning witch did calculate my end and told me that by water I should die.
Oh, but stay, Whitmore!
Know that I am a prince, a Duke of Suffolk, William de la Pole.
Pole? Speak, Captain! Shall I stab the forlorn swain?
Convey him hence, and on our longboat's side, strike off his head!
Thou darest not for thy own.
Yes, Pole. Pole! I can puddle, sink, whose filth and dirt troubles the silver spring where England drinks. Now will I dam up this, thy yawning mouth for swallowing the treasure of the realm. Thy lips that kiss the queen shall sweep the ground. And thou that smilest at good Duke Humphrey's death against the senseless wind shalt grin in vain.
Come, Suffolk, on this waffly to thy death.
Walter Whitmore, Walter, it's thee I fear.
Oh, what? Are ye daunted now? Now will ye stoop?
My gracious lord, entreat him, speak him fair.
Suffolk's imperial tongue is stern and rough, used to command, untaught to plead for favour. Far be it we should honour such as these with humble suit. No, rather let my head stoop to the block than these knees bow to any, save to the God of heaven and to my king, and sooner dance upon a bloody pole than stand uncovered to the vulgar groom. True nobility is exempt from fear. More can I bear than you dare execute.
Water, hail hence, and let him talk no more.
Come, water, show what cruelty ye can, that this my death may never be forgot. Great men oft die by vile Bassonians. A Roman sworder and bandito slave murdered sweet Tully. Brutus' bastard hand stabbed Julius Caesar. Savage islanders, Pompey the Great. And Suffolk dies by pirates.
There let his head and lifeless body lie, until the queen, his mistress, bury it.
And as for you, whose ransom has been paid, it is our pleasure that you should depart.
Oh, barbarous and bloody spectacle. This severed head will I bear unto the king. If he revenge it not yet with his friends, so will the queen that living held him dear.
While Suffolk's head is carried to London, York is standing on the quayside at Bristol waiting for a favourable tide to carry him to Ireland to take up his new appointment. Obsessed by his desire to depose the king, York has hatched an extraordinary plot which he believes will further the cause of the White Rose.
I will stir up in England. Some black storm shall blow 10,000 souls to heaven or hell. I have seduced a headstrong Kentishman, John Cade of Ashford, to make commotion as full well he can under the title of John Mortimer. For that John Mortimer, which now is dead, in face, in gait, in speech, he doth resemble. By this I shall perceive the commons' mind, how they affect the house and claim of York. Say he be taken, racked and tortured. I know no pain they can inflict upon him will make him say I moved him to those arms. Say that Cade thrive, as 'tis great like he will. Why then from Ireland will I come with strength to reap the harvest which this rascal sows. For Humphrey being dead, God rest his soul, and Henry put apart, the next for me.
Inspired with the spirit of putting down kings and princes, command silence. Dick Butcher and Smith Weaver, Jack Cade, demands silence.
Silence! Silence!
My father was a Mortimer.
He was an honest man and a good bricklayer.
My mother a Plantagenet.
I knew her well, she was a midwife.
My wife descended of the Lacy.
Oh, she was indeed a peddler's daughter and sold many Lacy's.
Therefore am I of an honourable house.
Oh, by my faith, the field is honourable, and there was he born under a hedge.
Valiant I am.
I must sneeze, for bigger he is valiant.
I am able to endure much.
Oh, no question of that, for I've seen him whip 3 market days together for stealing a sheep.
Be brave, then, for your captain is brave and vows reformation. There shall be in England 7 halfpenny loaves sold for a penny. The 3-hooped pot shall have 10 hoops. And I will make it felony to drink small beer. And when I am king, as king I will be. I thank you, good people. There shall be no money. And I will apparel them all in 1 livery, that they may agree like brothers and worship me, their lord.
The first thing we do, let's kill all the lions.
Hey, that I mean to do. Is not this a lamentable thing, that of the skin of an innocent lamb should be made parchment? That parchment being scribbled o'er should undo a man. How now, who's there?
It's the clerk of Chatham. He can write and read.
Oh, monstrous. Come hither, sirrah. I must examine thee. What is thy name?
Emmanuel.
They used to write it on the top of letters. 'Twill go hard with you.
Let me alone. Dost thou use to write thy name? Or hast thou a mark to thyself like an honest, plain-dealing man?
Sir, I thank God I have been so well brought up that I can write my name.
Away with him, I say! Hang him with his pen and ink horn about his neck!
Hang him! Hang him! Hang him! Where's our general?
Here I am, thou particular fellow.
Fly, fly, fly. Sir Humphrey Stafford's hard by with the king's forces.
Stand, villain, stand, or I'll fell thee down. He shall be encountered with a man as good as himself. He is but a knight, is he?
No.
To equal him, I will make myself a knight immediately. Rise up, Sir John Mortimer. Now have at him, a And you that love the commons, follow me. Now show yourselves men. 'Tis for liberty.
The enemy, all in order, march upon us.
But then are we in order when we are most out of order? Come, let us march. We'll rout this Stafford, then London too shall fall.
Follow Sir John Mortimer.
Stafford does fall, swiftly and brutally. And having tasted blood, the mob now sweeps rapidly forward towards their ultimate objective, London and the King's Palace at Westminster. In the palace, while Henry considers a list of the rebels' supposed grievances, Margaret, distracted and dishevelled, sits in a corner of the room, openly nursing her lover Suffolk's head.
After my hurt, that grief softens the mind and makes it fearful and degenerate. Think, Margaret, on revenge and cease to weep. But who can cease to weep and look on this? Here may his head lie on my throbbing breast, but where's the body that I should embrace?
What answer makes your grace to the rebel's supplication?
I'll send some holy bishop to entreat. For God forbid so many simple souls should perish by the sword. And I myself, rather than bloody war shall cut them short, will parley with Jack Cade, their general. But stay, I'll read it over once again.
Barbarous villains. Hath this lovely face ruled like a wandering planet over me? And could it not enforce them to relent? That were unworthy to behold the same.
How now, madam? Still lamenting and mourning for Suffolk's death? I fear me, love, if that I had been dead, thou wouldest not have mourned so much for me.
No, my love, I should not mourn, but die for thee.
My liege!
How now, uncle? What news? Why comest thou in such haste?
Sir Humphrey Stafford has been butchered. Jack Cade proclaims himself Lord Mortimer, descended from the Duke of Clarence House, and calls your grace usurper openly, and vows to crown himself in Westminster. His army is a ragged multitude of hinds and peasants, rude and merciless. All scholars, lawyers, courtiers, gentlemen, they call false caterpillars and intend their death.
Oh, graceless men, they know not what they do.
My gracious lord, retire to Killingworth until a power be raised to put them down.
Ah, were the Duke of Suffolk now alive, these Kentish rebels would be soon appeased.
Jack Cade hath gotten London Bridge. The rascal people thirsting after prey join with the traitor, and they jointly swear to spoil the city and your royal court.
Then linger not, my lord. Away, take horse.
Come, Margaret. God, our hope, will succour us.
My hope is gone. Now Suffolk is deceased.
Mortimer, lord of this city. And here, sitting upon London stone, I charge and command that of the city's cost, the pissing conduit run nothing but claret wine this first year of our reign. And now, henceforward, it shall be treason for any that calls me other than Lord Mortimer.
Jack Cade! Jack Cade!
Knock him down there.
If this fella be wise, he'll never call ye Jack Cade more. I think he hath a very fair warning.
My lord, there's an army gathered together in Smithfield.
Come then, let's go fight with them. But first, go and set London Bridge on fire. And if you can, burn down the tower too. Others to the ends of court, down with them all.
I have a suit unto your lordship.
Be it a lordship, thou shalt have it for that word.
Only that the laws of England may come out of your mouth.
Dick Butcher, I have thought upon it. It shall be so. Away! Burn all the records of the realm. My mouth shall be the Parliament of England. The proudest peer in the realm shall not wear a head on his shoulders unless he pay me tribute. There shall not be a maid be married, but she shall pay to me her maidenhead ere they have it. And we further charge and command that wives be as free as heart can wish, or tongue can tell. What noise is this I hear? Dare any be so bold to sound retreat or parley when I command them kill?
No, Cade. We come ambassadors from the king and to the commons whom thou hast misled, and here pronounce free pardon to them all that will forsake thee and go home in peace.
What say ye, countrymen? Will ye relent and yield to mercy whilst 'tis offered you? Or let a rebel lead you to your deaths? Who loves the king and will embrace his pardon, fling up his cap and say, God save his majesty! Who hateth him and honors not his father, Henry the Fifth, that made all France to quake, shake he his weapon at us and pass by.
God save the king!
What, Somerset and Clifford, are ye so brave? And you, base peasants, do ye believe him? Will you needs be hanged with your pardons about your necks? Hath my sword therefore broke through London gates that you should leave me at the White Hart in Southwark? I thought he would never have given out these arms till you had recovered your ancient freedom. But you are all recreants and dastards, and delight to live in slavery to the nobility. Let them break your backs with burdens. Take your houses over your heads, ravish your wives and daughters before your faces. For me, I will make shift for one, and so God's curse light upon you all.
Is Cade? Is Cade the son of Henry the Fifth? That thus you do exclaim you'll go with him? Will he conduct you through the heart of France and make the meanest of you earls and dukes? Alas, he hath no home, no place to fly to, nor knows he how to live but by the spoil, unless by robbing of your friends and us. Were it not a shame that whilst you live at Jar, the fearful French whom you late vanquished should make a start o'er seas and vanquish you? Better 10,000 base-born Cades miscarry than you should stoop unto a Frenchman's mercy. To France! To France! And get what you have lost! God on our side, doubt not of victory!
Has ever feather so lightly blown to and fro as this multitude? The name of Henry the Fifth hails them to 100 mischiefs and makes them leave me desolate. I see them lay their heads together to surprise me. My sword make way for me, for here is no staying. And heavens and honor be witness that no want of resolution in me, but only my followers' base and ignominious treasons makes me betake me to my heels. In despite of the devils and hell, have flown the very minister of life.
What is he fled? Go some and follow him. And he that brings his head unto the king shall have 1,000 crowns for his reward.
Follow, follow, men of Kent. We'll devise a mean to reconcile you all unto the king.
Clifford's means of reconciliation is to force Cade's followers into utter submission and make them beg for their lives. Meanwhile, in the peace and tranquility of the garden at Kenilworth Castle, Henry and Margaret wait for the latest news on the rebellion.
Was ever king that joyed an earthly throne and could command no more content than I? Was never subject longed to be a king as I do long and wish to be a subject.
Health and glad tidings to your majesty.
Why, Somerset, is the traitor Cade surprised? Or is he but retired to make him strong?
He has fled, my liege, and all his powers do yield.
Then heaven set open thy everlasting gates to entertain my vows of thanks and praise. My lords, this day have you redeemed your lives and showed how well you love your prince and country. Continue still in this so good a mind, and Henry, though he be infortunate, assure yourselves will never be unkind.
My Majesty.
Please it, your grace, to be advertised. The Duke of York is newly come from Ireland,
and with a puissant and a mighty power, is marching hitherward in proud array, and still proclaimeth, as he comes along, his arms are only to remove from thee the Duke of Somerset, whom he terms a traitor.
Traitor. Thus stands my state, 'twixt Cade and York distressed, like to a ship that, having escaped a tempest, is straightway calmed and boarded with a pirate. But now is Cade driven back, his men dispersed, and now is York in arms to second him. I pray thee, good old Clifford, meet him straight and ask him what's the reason of these arms. Tell him I'll send Duke Somerset to the Tower, and Somerset, we will commit thee thither until his army be dismissed from him.
My lords, I'll yield myself to prison willingly, or unto death, to do my country good.
In any case, be not too rough in terms, for he is fierce and cannot brook hard language.
I will, my liege, and doubt not so to deal, as all things shall redound unto your good.
Come, wife, let's in and learn to govern better, for yet may England curse my wretched reign.
Fie on myself that have a sword and yet am ready to famish. These 5 days have I hid me in these woods and durst not peep out, for all the country is laid for me. But now am I so hungry I could stay no longer. Wherefore on a brick wall have I climbed into this garden to see if I can eat grass. And now I must play mute, for one approaches.
Lord, who would live turmoiled in the court and may enjoy such quiet walks as these? This small inheritance my father left me contenteth me, and worth a monarchy.
Here's the lord of the soil come to seize me for a stray, for entering his fee simple without leave. Ah, huh? Villain, thou wilt betray me, and get 1,000 crown of the king by carrying my head to him. But I'll make thee eat iron like an ostrich, and swallow my sword like a great pin, ere thou and I part.
Why, rude companion, whatsoe'er thou be, I know thee not. Why then should I betray thee? Is not enough to break into my garden, and like a thief to come to rob my grounds, but thou would brave me with these saucy terms?
Look on me well. I have eat no meat these 5 days, yet come thou and thy 5 men. And if I do not leave you all as dead as a doornail, I pray God I may never eat grass more.
Nay, it shall ne'er be said while England stands that Alexander Iden, an esquire of Kent, took odds to combat a poor famished man. Oppose thy steadfast gazing eyes to mine, see if thou canst outface me with thy looks. Set limb to limb, and thou art far the lesser. Thy hand is but a finger to my fist, thy leg a stick compared with this truncheon. And if mine arm be heaved in the air, thy grave is digged already in the earth. As for words, whose greatness answers words, let this my sword report what speech forbears.
By my valor, the most complete champion that ever I heard. Sword!
What?
If thou turn the edge, or cut not out the burly-boned clown in chines of beef ere thou sleep in thy sheath, I beseech God on my knees, thou mayst be turned to hobnails! I am slain. Famine and no other hath slain me. Let 10,000 devils come against me and give me but the 10 meals I have lost, and I'd defy them all. Wither, garden, and be henceforth
a burying place to all that do dwell in this house. Because the unconquered soul of Cade is fled.
Is't Cade that I have slain? That monstrous traitor! Sword, I will hallow thee for this thy deed and hang thee o'er my tomb when I am dead.
Iden, farewell, and be proud of thy victory. Tell Kent from me, she hath lost her best man, and exhort all the world to be cowards. For I, that never feared any, am vanquished by famine, not by valor.
How much thou wrongst me, heaven be my judge. Die, damned wretch, the curse of her that bare thee. And as I thrust thy body in with my sword, so wish I might thrust thy soul to hell. Hence will I drag thee headlong by the heels unto a dunghill which shall be thy grave, and there cut off thy most ungracious head, which I will bear in triumph to the king, leaving thy trunk for crows to feed upon.
In episode 18 of Vivat Rex, the cast was as follows. The storyteller, Richard Burton. Henry VI, James Lawrenson. Queen Margaret, Peggy Ashcroft. Warwick, Charles Grey. Suffolk, Julian Glover. Winchester, Peter Howell. Somerset, David Buck. Duke of York, Peter Jeffrey. Gloucester, Bernard Hepton. Captain and Dick Butcher, Rod Beecham. First murderer and Smith Weaver, Walter Hall. Second murderer and Walter Whitmore, David Graham. Exeter, Brian Haynes. Pirate captain and soldier, Michael Tudor Barnes. Gentleman and clerk, Jonathan Scott. Bosun and Michael, Peter Craze. Jack Cade, Douglas Blackwell. Old Clifford, Hector Ross. And Alexander Iden, Neville Jason. Music composed by Christopher Whedon. Produced and directed by Jerry Jones.